Welcome to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. Thanks for joining us today. We're really believing that you'll benefit from the message that you're about to hear. A big thank you to those of you who share our podcast on social media, and thanks for rating and reviewing us on iTunes. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.
If you're new, we often have random things pop up on our stage. If we want to go that way, that would be good whenever you can. That would be great. We are looking at the book of Exodus and wandering around through it this morning. And this tent has a lot to do with what I want to talk about this morning. And so I just have to wait till we get there. But the book of Exodus means coming out of, escaping out of. God is at work in the children of Israel. I've got no attention at the moment because everybody is looking there. So should I help them, or should we see how long this goes for and see if they can actually make it happen? We prepared this earlier and practiced. They're taking a little bit longer than they did earlier, but that's awesome. That'll do. One like that. Fantastic. Chris is concerned about his guitar, so I get that. As a fellow guitarist, you're worried about what's going to happen. All right, are you focused now? Like, I'm not sure. See, if you have your Bible, you have a Bible? Yes, would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 32, I think it is. Actually, 33. And we see over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the Israelites escaping out of Egypt and the enemy. The Israelites are coming against them. All of that is a type of the world. The Pharaoh is a type or a metaphor for Satan, what he's trying to do. And God destroys them. And interestingly, in the middle of their fear, he tells them to hold up a staff. And Moses holds up his staff and they go through and walk through the dry land, and God destroys them. And then so the whole idea of we have authority, we need to stand the authority that we have as believers in Jesus to stand against what God is, against the enemy is trying to do to us. And then last week we talked about learning to get a praise phrase before you need it. And I don't know if you got the rest of the chapter, so this is where they sang the story. Can everyone still remember my song from last week, or the song I ripped off from the Bible? Does anyone remember that? Is anyone, Ed, was still annoying you during the week? Yeah, okay. That's fantastic. Well, I'm going to got another one for you today. So. No, I don't. But the whole idea is that we can learn to praise. We should learn to praise God in those those incredible, epic moments where God does incredible things to help us in the valleys, to help us in the challenging times. And so we see Miriam gets up a tambourine and just sings. And there's some things that we need in our life to just give that praise phrase that over our circumstances, our situation. And today, I want to look. The title of my message is Pitch Your Tent. I'm learning to live in His presence. And so what happens, because I'm gonna skip to chapter 33, and some of you who are more ADD or you have issues with the fact that I'm not following sequentially, I'm just messing with your head, because that's the way God does things. You want the next chapter, but He's not going to give it to you. So we're going to go, but what happens after this? Whole bunch of incredible things. They complain and God does a miracle. They complain and God does a miracle, and all of these different challenges that happen. But at one point, Moses is called by God to go up to Mount Sinai. He goes up there and he gets the Ten Commandments. And God says, you shall not steal, you shall not murder, all that sort of thing. And what happens, there are chapters and chapters and chapters after this where Moses is there for 40 days and 40 nights, a miraculous event, where God is really, I would say, preaching to him, unpacking what this actually looks like. Because what you need to see in the book of Exodus is they have been slaves for 400 years. They have no rights, no privileges, no sense of self-worth or identity. And the Ten Commandments is what would a people, a nation dedicated to God look like? How would they be different? It's not to get saved. They've already crossed into the promised land. It's what should you look like? How should you live as free people, as a nation called by God? What does that actually look like? And so you pretty much what Jesus sums it all up, love one another. That's really the summary of the Ten Commandments, if we could put it that way. But so they do that. But what happens after, because it takes so long, and we've never frustrated with how long God takes to do anything, the Israelites decide to make a golden calf to worship instead of God. They say, Moses, I'm not sure where he is. This is taking too long. Let's do something that we can actually see tangibly here right now. And so they make an idol, and God is angry with them and says, Moses, I'm going to make a nation out of you. Moses, no, don't do that. That would just ruin your reputation everywhere. And you see Moses as the intercessor and prayer. And God forgives them, and there's punishment. And then what you see in Exodus 33, if you have your Bible in verse 12, there's this beautiful phrase and this passage of scripture where God, and you see this interaction between Moses and God where he says,
show me your glory. I want to know what you really look like.
And then the next chapter, we see God answers that prayer, and he gives him the Ten Commandments in the stone form, and he runs past, and he puts his hand over his he walks past over Moses and puts his hand over his eyes, and he lets him see his back, because if he sees the face of God, he would die. And it's this wonderful, phenomenal, powerful image that we look at, and we see the fulfillment of that in the New Testament, where we with unveiled, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we see Jesus and we've been transformed more and more into the image of God. But what I want to look at today is a very short passage of scripture in Exodus 33, where it's almost a behind the scenes, how do you do this? We live in a life that is busy. We have lots of things going on. Some of you have even answered emails right now. Some of you have checked different things that are happening. You've done a whole bunch of other things. You found difficult to sit there when Courtney said, let's just wait here. You know, how much longer? 3 minutes? Are you kidding me? She doesn't mean 3 minutes. That's way too long. Let's not ask that. But some of you would have found some of that difficult. We live in a challenging society. And I want to talk about our spirituality, our connection with God, and how do we keep it vibrant? How do we live in his presence? And so let's read from the text this morning. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out of the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Let me pray this morning. Father, we love you. We're so grateful for all that you've done for us. We want to know you more and more. As we read this story about this man speaking to you face to face like a friend, help us to understand that and not just hear, experience it, but Lord, in every day, every moment of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away. I want to encourage you today to pitch a tent where you can connect with God. What is the point of this tent? Is it any different to any other tent? Well, it was away from all the Israelites. It was away from everything else and everyone else. And I think sometimes we can look at it and go, oh, well, we need to live a holier than thou, or live special and different and all that type of stuff. And yes, we're called to be whole and we're called to be distinct. We're called to be separate from other people, but that's not because of what we can do. It's because of Jesus gives us that. But I think there's some clues in what happens here that Moses has this intimate, vivid, vibrant relationship with God where he speaks to him like a friend. And I think he pitched a tent away from everybody else, not because everyone else was sinful, because Moses himself struggled with anger his whole life. It's the reason he started his ministry. I feel called to kill people. I'm just super angry with what's happening, so I'm going to kill an Egyptian. In the end of his life, the reason he can't enter the promised land is the same issue, anger. God says to him, speak to the rock. And he's like, I'm so angry with these people. And I hit it twice. God's like, okay, you're not entering the promised land. So Moses, you need to see Moses, because we said that Moses is super special. He is a prophet. He is different, but he struggles with sin just like you and I. So Moses pitched a tent away from everything else and everyone else, I think, because he didn't want to get distracted. And so I want to encourage us today. We live in an age of distraction, digital distraction, every other thing that's happening. It is challenging to sit still and talk with God, because we live addicted to dopamine. The next thing, 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 the next thing. It's just a challenge that we face in the 21st century. That we sit still for a while, like, are you kidding? How much longer? How long, oh Lord, was this go for? So we could rail against it. Society needs to change. We live in society. We need to be in the world, but not of the world. So how do you do this? So I'm going to encourage you to find a place, a space, a thing in your life where you can pitch a tent. I don't know if it's a place. I don't know where it is, but I'm going to encourage you to find something in your life so that you can go, I want to meet with God. When I'm here, this is when I meet with God. Because everything else, you want to start working, start doing your stuff, and you sit there, and it's the same thing. I want to challenge you to find a place where you can go for a walk. You need to do something different, because we are so easily caught up in the busyness of, and the effectiveness of life. My phone's going off. I've got to go do this. Someone else wants this from me. I have to go be there and do that. We live in a frantic society that God wants to connect with us. And I think it's possible to do this. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, not because he was like, I need to be separate from everybody. Nobody was there. Everyone had wanted a piece of Jesus. I want you, can you heal this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Like eventually in his ministry, he couldn't actually get into a town because people were just all over like, can you come and help this person? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And so he's like, I need to find a place that I can connect with God away from everybody else. So what is that for you? Where is that for you? When is that for you? Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside. Moses had a plan. This wasn't like, I just worked. It was like, we're leaving. All right, let's go. First thing I want, all right, you guys, can you put this tent up for me? I don't think he did it. I think he's 80 plus, sort of maybe 90, 100, whatever he is. But he's like, can you put this tent up for me? This is important. So part of our learning to connect with God is to have a plan for that. To have a pattern for that, to daily connect with him. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Because the disciples are like, teach us how to pray. And he's like, give us this day our daily bread. I encourage you, find a daily pattern or rhythm or place or space or whatever it is where you can connect with God. Some of you, you love the outdoors. Fantastic. Good for you. Connect with God as you go for a walk or do whatever else. I do want to challenge you though, because what I hear, what I've seen, what I've done,
doing on. We're going somewhere. And I'm like, oh, yes, I've got to pray. Yes, there, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. And no, I've got to do that. And I better call them now and let them know that I'm not. Like, we're doing stuff and feel like I want to connect with God, but it doesn't quite work. And I get it. I get it. We're busy. It's challenging. But I want to, in the middle of all of your stuff, make a plan and space and time to go, God, I want to be with you. May even needs to be. Jesus talks about the whole idea, go and find a closet, some place where you just, nobody can distract you. Nobody can be a part of it. And so whenever Moses went into the tent, there was a place and it was a time, he had a purpose to connect with God. So my second point, God speaks. Are you a spectator or a participant? As it says in verse 7, anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. So anybody could go to this tent, because it looked like this, and they were like, I need an answer. I need God to speak to me. Should I go this way? Should I go that? Should I marry this person or should I do this? What should I do? Should I have this? What am I just need to know what God wants to do. And so there was an open tent for anybody to come and seek God. We see the end of the passage. Joshua's already there. He lives there. That's his tent. It's not his tent, but he's there all the time. He's lingering, and I'll talk about that later. Verse 8, whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance, they would stood and they worship. There seems to be a whole bunch of spectators to what's really happening. Moses is there connecting with God, and then there's a whole bunch of people going, oh, wow, that's awesome. That's amazing. Fantastic. Good for you. Whole bunch of people. I think the challenge for us is God wants to speak to us. And sometimes we want to go, oh, I'll let them do it. I'll let that person speak. I'll let them connect with God. I'll let the pastor, this person, whoever you think, put it, no, I'm just... The beautiful part when we look through the eyes of the cross of what this actually is happening is Jesus destroys every barrier between God and humanity. The sin, the shame, the selfishness, the self-righteousness, the stuff that we try to do, the good works even we present, he obliterates it all. When Jesus died, the temple was torn, the veil between the holy and holies, and that's not really happening at this point. This is pre that. It's torn from the top down. God invites all of humanity into an intimate friendship, relationship with him. So don't disqualify yourself for whatever you think. Because I think sometimes we can come to a place like this and experience God's presence like we did this morning and go, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I've sinned. You think about all the failures. When you start singing these songs, I'm in the water. I'm not drowning. I'm not walking on no water. It's just overwhelming. And then the voice of the enemy, the devil, accuses. That's part of his name, is the accuser of the brothers and sisters, to say, you're no good, you're hopeless. God saw that you did that. Everybody knows that you're sinful. Why do you even lift your hands? They're not holy. You don't deserve to be here. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's the voice. And his only mission is to steal, kill, and destroy the work of God in your life. And so what you need to realize is that he is a liar. It's not true. Jesus has paid the ultimate price for you so that you can come, Hebrews says, boldly into the presence of God, into what the Holy of Holies, like the place where God is. You can come boldly, confidently, not because of anything I've done, nothing we've done. Jesus has done everything. And so we're like, I'm coming into the presence of God. Don't be distracted. Don't let the devil disqualify you.
Let's just quickly look at one other text. Next slide. But everyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Talks about the whole idea. When Moses began to do this more and more, he had an encounter with God. He would wear a veil because he didn't realize how much he'd actually changed. But that glory would diminish over time, and so they would just hide that. But when everyone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. So if you follow Jesus, if you have put your trust in him, there is a veil that is taken away. There's no barrier between you and God. And now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Lord, Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into the image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Which means, what does this mean? So you can come into God's presence and the Spirit of God is there and you're being changed. You're being transformed. And so you may not be perfect. I'm telling you now, if I had to break it to you, you're not. You're not. But you need to come with your brokenness, with your sin, with your shame, with all of the stuff, and come into his presence and you will be transformed. You will be transformed in that place with ever-increasing glory because the Spirit of God is there. This freedom is renewing you, is changing you, being transformed into the image of life. Here's what I've found, though. Most of us want to fix it here. When I'm this, then I'll go to here. And that's not what happens. Because, I need to do this, I need to fix this, I need to do this, I need to do this. Yes, you do. But the best place is here, in God's presence, in where he's there and going, hey, let's have that conversation. Let's work through this stuff. I love you. I care for you. I'm going to do this stuff. Stop trying to fix yourself with your own sin. That's religion. That's self-righteousness. That's trying to do this stuff. And the Bible says that's like filthy rags. Some of you, maybe you haven't put your trust in Jesus and this is your idea. It doesn't work like that. You have to surrender and say, I give up. I can come into the presence through the way that is Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can come into his presence because of Jesus. Not anything you do or will do. He loves you. Third point. Moses' pursuit of God drew God to him. Wait, breaks this bit, because this is awesome. Let's go. When Moses went to the tent and pitched it outside, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting, and anyone would come, they could do that. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped. Here's what happens. God is there. And what we see in the book of Exodus, there is a cloud, a pillar of cloud, or at night it turned into a fire. Just, it's all types of the presence of God. The God is with us. He will protect you, all that type of stuff. Here's what happens. Moses goes into the tent. Moses goes to connect with God, to pray, to be with God. And the cloud comes to the front. It's like, oh, yes, I can't wait. It's because some of us, what you need is God's perspective on this. We're here going, oh, I'm coming, I'm praying, I'm going through my prayer list, I'm reading through the Bible, I'm doing all this stuff. You haven't seen the other side of this whole story. Is that we're here going, God, I'm here. And God's like, Lord, yes, come out. I can't wait. I'm here. That's what happens. It's like suddenly the right at the front, it's like, okay, nobody else enter because it's my time with Moses. Nobody else can come. Nobody else can come. That's what's happening. This God is the jealous God for you, and he wants relationship with you. And so stop trying to think, oh, I'm working hard, I'm trying to do. God's like, oh, come on. I'm with you. I love you. I want to be with you. And so soon as you like go, oh, I'm here, God's like, oh, why, yes. Right.
Let's go.
The cloud will come down. Watch what happens when you see the verbs and who does what. The cloud. So Moses went into the tent. Verb is went into. The cloud would come down. The Lord spoke with Moses. The Lord would speak to Moses. Moses would return.
God is doing a lot of work in this relationship here. God is speaking. We're coming in, and he's like, and told me.
Can I have two chairs? Can both of you get a chair for me, please, and put it in there? That would be great. God wants to meet with you. You, for him, are the most important person in the world. He wants to meet with you. What I see happening in this thing is God's like, all right, you're coming into my presence. Right, I'm clearing the calendar. I don't want any more calls. I'm putting on do not disturb because I'm about to meet with them. It's fantastic. Yes, just everyone. I'm about to meet with this person. See, that's a God I want to know. That's a God I want to have a friendship with, a relationship with, that he's like, he loves me and he cares for me. He wants to meet with me. So when I wake up in the morning, or when I try to connect with God, when I go to pitch my tent, wherever and whatever that looks like, he's there going, oh, come on, let's go. Oh, let's be so excited. Some of you need to see that God has done all of this in Jesus way before you, even before you were said, I want to follow Jesus. He sent his son to die for you so that he could, like, to have a relationship, a conversation. I want to be with you. I want to speak with you. And some of us, I wonder if we've gotten so used to standing outside the tent or just sort of, I don't want to need to do so I don't feel guilty. What it is, the more you pray, the more you feel like praying. The less you pray, the less you feel like praying. It's that simple. Let me put in words you understand. The more you exercise, the more you want to exercise. The more you don't exercise, the more you don't want to exercise. It's that simple. It's like, I don't want to do that. The more you change your diet, the more you're going, yeah, I actually want to eat this sort of stuff. The more you don't and do all this stuff, yeah, you don't want to do it. It's just the way we as human beings. So it's no different with God. The more you connect with God, the more you're like, yes, he's amazing. He's fantastic. I love him. He's done everything for me. The more, the less you connect with God, the less inclined you are to do that. And so today, I'm going to stop you and go, hey, I think you've forgotten where this relationship started and that he is doing more work than you and wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you. He cares for you. And so I've got a chair challenge for you. And some of you have been in this church long enough, you recognize I've done this before. So Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud will come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw, they would do it and they stood. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. I don't know if that's your relationship with God. For me, it wasn't always like that. God was awesome and fearsome and wonderful and amazing, but to say that he was a friend, I'm not sure. Until Because I grew up in a religious thing where you have to, like, you fear God. I just don't do that thing, or lightning will strike you and you'll die. That's my, that was my thing. But I'm beginning to appreciate in a greater way that God loves me, cares for me, wants to talk with me. And so what I want you to do, challenge for you to do, some of you are looking at me weird and that's like, that's okay. It did be weird. I want to help some of you today because sitting still is challenging. Connecting with God without distraction, not maybe with a phone, but in here, is super hard. And you're like, when's the next thing going to happen? So how do you practically, here's something that I would suggest you to do. If this is not a problem for you, then don't do it. But if it is, I wonder if when you pitch your tent, wherever that looks like, you could put a chair next to you. And this is a bit weird because it doesn't quite work, but I'll turn this. And I'm going to talk with the Lord as Moses spoke to a friend. It's like face to face. Now, he didn't see God. That happens in the next chapter. So he's there, just like you and I. And God's speaking to him. And yet, for some of us, we're so challenged and distracted and disturbed and all that stuff. Maybe we disqualify ourselves. And yet, God is there. Jesus has done everything. The Spirit of God is here. And and not that God's here. Like, I'll swap it for those that are like, well, what happened? Doesn't matter. For me, this was helpful for one period of my life where I was like, I'm just so distracted. And so I'm like, God became a friend because I was still praying to God. I was still asking him to do miracles and do magic, amazing things. But I'm like, God, you're here. And I'm just really scared about what's happening in this situation. I'm really frustrated about this. I don't know what to do. See, when you're talking to a friend, there's a two-way conversation. Some of us all be like, I'm worshiping God, I'm talking to him, I'm talking at him, but the Lord spoke with Moses. They had a dialogue. Who's got a friend that you're the only one that speaks and that friend says nothing? That's not friendship. Friendship is relationship, is like talking with you. So I don't know if this is helpful for anybody today, but if you could talk to him, because Jesus has done everything and made a way for you and I. And so here's the other thing. Bring the stuff that distracts you and give it to him. Because he cares for you. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. So giving that to you. All of the burdens, all of the challenges, all of the fears, all of the doubts, all of the things that go through my head, all of the distractions, if you give that to him, some of you are trying to carry it and it's distracting. Just give it to him because he cares for you. Let's go to the next scripture just for a second. James chapter 4. And if the team could come. I don't know how you're going to do that, but anyway, it's not my problem. James chapter 4 is this incredible principle. I put too much up there for the sake of time, but I don't even know where it is in that scripture. Forget that scripture, but somewhere it says, I'll get the book of Hebrews, says somewhere it's written, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I thought it was there, but I can't see it, and that's okay. Somewhere in the book of James. You draw near to God and God draws near to you. You see the same principle here in Moses. When Moses is coming into the tabernacle and the thoughts, oh,
Yes, I'm not dull to be with you. Let's talk together.
My last point is make the most of every season. Because what happens in this story, the Lord would return to the camp, but the young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And I've read that scripture in the past and went, oh, I'm just so guilty. Because I don't need to go. But Joshua's there and he's just there. He's heard Moses and God there having conversations. What a great insight. I don't know, did he hear the voice of God? I've no idea. But he's there. And I'm like, and you've heard about, you should be like Joshua, just linger in the presence of God. The reason Joshua can do that is because he has no responsibility. So make the most of every season in your life. If you're a young person, can I, with great respect, say to you, make the most of this opportunity. Your responsibilities, as great as they are, and some of you are laughing right now. Don't laugh. Life is challenging at times. Make the most of the freedom that you have. That's what Joshua did. Moses couldn't do this. He left. He had to go. Right, what's your problem? All right, let's do this. Okay, what are you doing there? Joshua's like, whatever season you're in, make the most of it. Make the most of it. Develop what Moses did was he had a history with God. So he could come in and out and like, you're here, I'm talking with you like a friend. Because he'd spent a long time with him in the past. 1 John chapter 2 talks about, write to you, fathers, because you know him. There's this history that we can have with God. And so whatever season you find yourself in, maybe you've got more responsibility. I'm not saying give all that up and just sit in God's presence forever. When you connect, you just go straight back to God. I remember you. I remember when I first became a Christian, 16, I would walk home. I was so pumped to get out of school and get out of school, but I was walking home. I would just pray in tongues. I would sing my own song. I would just, because there was by a railway track and no one else was there. If anyone saw me, it would be super weird, but I'm just connecting with God. And I had very little responsibility, despite the fact that I thought I had all the world on my shoulders. I just connect with God. I can't do that now. I don't have that freedom, but I remember the same God that I connected with like that. And so I can go, we're here, I'm here, and he's there. And my relationship has matured. I'm living in his presence and I understand we're talking about other things and other challenges and other things. So don't be like the Israelites who just came in and out. We're like, what do you have to say? I've got this massive problem. Can you? Great, thanks very much. But learn to be, maybe you're in a Joshua season and you can stay there and you can make the most of it. Whatever that is, do it. But maybe you're Moses and don't feel bad that I've got all these responsibilities. Find that tent that you can connect and you can set it up and go, God, I'm here. I want to connect with you. I know you love me. And don't spend the, just, God, you're here. I love you. And recognize that he is jealous for you. And the pillar of God comes down. The Spirit of God comes into your life. Here's the best part of this whole situation. We would make room for God. That's our theme for the year. Making room for God in our life. And you might look at your calendar and schedules and all of that type of stuff. Yes. But I want to change that and flip that and see that God is jealous and super excited to come and spend some time with you. So that changes that moment. Yes, we need habits and spiritual disciplines. And I'm not saying we don't need to do that. But God, if you could see the other side, that God's there like, I'm here with you. But now, I don't have to necessarily erect a tabernacle like Moses. I need to find places and spaces so I can connect with him. But the Bible says in Corinthians that you and I, if we follow Jesus, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that he lives in us. That cloud of glory that was there and would come is here in us. The Spirit of God is living inside us. And so all of this is a metaphor for my life, my heart, your life. God wants to meet with you and speak to you face to face like a friend and speak with you and say, I love you, I care for you. I'm not finished with the work of what we're doing. Let's keep going. He would encourage you. He would speak to you like a friend. And so, let us stand this morning and let us worship our God. Let us draw near to him.
Thank you for listening to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.